is to us. Even through the difficult times, he's always good and he has a good purpose for us. The children can be dismissed at this time to junior church if they would like. We have that available for children from 3 years old up through second grade. And so if they would like to go at this time, they're welcome to be dismissed at this time. If you have a Bible this morning, please take your Bibles and open to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12 this morning. I so thoroughly enjoyed getting to go through the book of Ephesians this summer. And it was a blessing to be able to not only preach, but also to be preached to and have opportunities to hear from other men how God is using this book in their lives. And I'm thankful for the blessings and the good responses we've heard from people who really appreciated that study. And don't stop reading in Ephesians just because we stopped for the summer. Don't stop reading through God's Word. But I'm thankful to be able to resume, come back to a series that we really began over a year ago. We began the beginning of 2020, this series on loving God and loving others biblically. And we get this, we see in Scripture the two greatest commands Jesus Christ said in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, on these two commands depend or hang all the law and the prophets. Every part of God's word hangs on obeying these two commands, loving God and loving others. And here at Open Door Bible Church, if you remember, as often we come back to this blueprint we believe that God has for our church or for any local church, and even for each individual believer, the blueprint that God gives us is we live for the glory of God. We exist to live for the glory of God. And whatever we do, as 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, we are called to do all to the glory of God. And yet, how do we do that? How do we live for the glory of God? When we see these two commands that God has given us, we need to love Him and love others. And He gives us His grace. We understand His grace, His kindness to us through Jesus Christ. His grace through His Word is what allows us to be able to know how to love Him and how to love others. And so every foundation of our life, it must be built on the Word of God. Our worship must be built on God's Word and this goal to glorify Him. Our discipleship, the gospel advancement that we go to tell the good news of Jesus Christ to others, it's all for the glory of God, and yet it all is supported by these pillars in a sense, or it supports these pillars of loving God and loving others and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so as we've gone through this study, we've covered a lot of different areas. We've covered loving God and loving others through biblical meditation, how we read God's Word, how we study God's Word. It is an aspect of how we love Him and how we grow in our love for Him and for one another. We looked at prayer. We looked at discernment, having biblical discernment to know how to love God and what to love and what not to love, how to love others in a discerning biblical way. We looked at biblical worship. We looked at biblical communication. And we're going to begin a series that is under this kind of umbrella of loving God and loving others through biblical generosity. Biblical generosity. And we see much in Scripture about how the church is called to show the kindness of God and our generosity towards one another. Now, when we say generosity, many times today we think, oh, that must have to do with money. Well, money can be involved. But money's not the only way we show the generosity that God wants us to the world. One of those ways, clear ways, is through hospitality. And so this morning, as we come to Romans chapter 12, we're going to read verses 9 down through 21. It's a little longer passage. We're really going to focus a lot of our attention on verse 13. But I want us to see how verse 13 fits into this overall passage on ways that we are called to let our love be genuine. And so if you have a Bible, I encourage you to, if you're not in Romans 12, turn there. And I'm going to read verses 9 through 21. We'll have a word of prayer. And then we'll start walking through this passage together. Romans chapter 12, verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's a lot in this passage. We're going to really focus a lot on verse 13, but we're also going to go forward a little bit too in Romans to the beginning of chapter 12. But let's start with a word of prayer. And as we go through this passage of scripture, may God work his grace in our hearts. May we have a desire to live for his glory and to pursue biblical hospitality as God would have us to as his church. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this time that we can have together in your word. I thank you that we live again in a country where we can freely open the word of God and we can read God's word together. We can be challenged. We can be exhorted. We can be encouraged. We can be comforted by your truth together, openly, publicly. I pray that we'd never take that for granted. Father, I pray that you would help us this morning to have a great love, not just for you, but also for your church. And I pray that this love for you and this love for others will be seen in the way that we desire to live for the glory of God. Father, help us to understand what your word clearly has for us today. I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts and give us insight, give us wisdom, give us understanding. And Father, I pray that we would have a desire to obey, and you would help us to know how to obey your word for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The big idea that I think we want to walk away with this morning is this, and it's kind of a loaded one, so I want to take some time to unpack it, but I think this comes straight out from God's word, the Bible, to us this morning. Biblical Christian hospitality, not just talking about the hospitality that the world would want to say, but what the Bible says that Christians are to, how we're to live. Biblical Christian hospitality is a personal and vivid demonstration of the genuine and gracious love of the gospel. And by the gospel, we mean the good news of Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus Christ came to this earth, he humbled himself. He allowed himself to be sacrificed in our place on the cross. He rose from the grave. He offers us eternal life by faith in him. This Jesus, who loves us so much, who's given us this gospel to lovingly believe and also to share, when we show biblical Christian hospitality, it highlights, it demonstrates the love of the gospel that has changed our lives. And so that's something I want us to consider, and we see it clearly here in the text. Now, as we look at this, as we just a brief intro to, we read verse 9, we're going to get to verse 13. I want us to realize, though, that the first two verses in Romans chapter 12, which have probably been memorized by a number of us, I want to read those two verses, but realize that these two verses are really the catalyst. These are the springboard, so to speak, the foundation for what we see here in this passage. And in fact, really the rest of this letter that Paul writes, this epistle to the Romans, is really living out the reality of what it looks like to live a life that is not being conformed to this world, but is being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren," or brothers, or brothers and sisters, "by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And these thoughts that Paul gives, these commands here, this exhortation, is really going to overshadow or kind of be an umbrella over the rest of this book, the rest of this letter. What does it look like to not be conformed to the world? What does it look like to be transformed to the renewal of my mind as I live out my life as a Christian? What does it look like to live in light of the new life in Christ? What does that look like? And much the rest of Romans is really going to show what that should look like, especially to this church of believers who were in Rome, but also to churches across the world for all time that are truly biblically Christian churches. Now, as we come to verse 9, we started in verse 9. Everything detailed in verse 9 and verses 10 through 12 that read this passage this morning really finds another little mini umbrella in verse 9. Look at verse 9. It starts with this phrase, let love be genuine. Don't be fake in your love. Let love be genuine. This love, this word for the love is, maybe you've heard it before, agape love. It means a sacrificial love, a love that seeks to serve others and not ourselves. And if you remember 1 Corinthians 13, it shows us what this love is like. Let this love, like the love of Christ that he's shown you that's in your life, let it be genuine. This is an overarching command. We see that everything detailed in verses 10 down through verse 21, the passage we read, really falls under this command of let love be genuine. So I just want to say that as a word of introduction. Now, in this passage, we're going to look at verses 9 through 21, focus heavily on verse 13. But in Romans 12, I believe, and throughout this whole chapter, we can see four truths about biblical hospitality. First of all, biblical hospitality is an attribute of Christians who are being spiritually transformed by the mercy and truth of the gospel's message. Biblical hospitality is an attribute of Christians who are being spiritually transformed by the message and truth of the gospel's message. If you look at verse 2 there, it reminds us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to not be conformed to this world, to not see our earthly goods and the things God blessed us of as our ultimate treasure, but to see them as tools that God has given us to be a blessing to others. If you look on in verse 3, it says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. One commentator named John Phillips, he said, the body of the believer, as we think of our own bodies, the body of the believer is the vehicle through which the new life is expressed. Believers are changed morally, mentally, and motivationally. And the thought, as we come to verse 13, you look at verse 13, it says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. The thought in verse 13 is of actually pursuing opportunities for hospitality, not just passively waiting for them to come. Let's look at verse 13, because I said we're going to focus much of our attention on that. We see it starts with contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Now, that first part, contributing, has the idea of fellowshipping, partaking, knowing the needs of the saints. As we said, if you remember through Ephesians and many times, what does it mean to be a saint? Does it mean that some group of church elders have nominated you as a saint? It means that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The word saint means holy one, those who have been set apart by God as his children. If you are a Christian, you are a saint. I know sometimes we hear that thing saying, well, they're not a saint, or I'm not really a saint. No, if you're a Christian, though, you are a saint. God sees you as holy in his eyes. And so Paul says here in the first part of verse 13, hey, do your part as best you can to fellowship, to help with the needs of the saints. And this here is speaking, I don't believe about spiritual, but more about physical needs. You see a need, do what you can to help with that need within the church. But then I want to look at some words here in the last part of verse 13, seek to show hospitality. Seek to show hospitality. That word seek, it's a word that many times is translated pursue or run after, to follow after. I remember when our boys were growing up and we would be in the front yard, and if one of them started running towards the road, you know, just kind of toddling towards, they see something across the way, oh, we'd be running after him and grab them and pull them back. You're pursuing them. The picture here is seek or pursue, strive after, seek to pursue hospitality and showing hospitality. Now that word hospitality, what does that mean? Well, let's talk about that a minute. That word to seek to show hospitality. It's actually a combination of two words, friendly and host. Be a friendly host. Seek to be, literally it's saying, pursue being friendly hosts. Now, does this mean that hospitality only happens in our homes? I would suggest no. Because as we look at this context, many of these believers, some of them didn't own a home. Some of them were slaves. Some of them were masters. Some of them were wealthy. Some were poor. It didn't always mean have someone over for a meal, though that is a place where hospitality can take place. It means to have a spirit in your heart that desires to be showing the kindness and grace of God, sacrificing what is yours to be a blessing to others. So biblical hospitality then, as an attribute of a Christian who has been transformed by the mercy and truth of God, means that we realize the things that God has given us are not just for our own use, but we are to use what God has given us to be a blessing to others. Hospitality can also be inviting someone into your life for a time, inviting them into perhaps your family activity, inviting them and letting them partake of events and activities in your life, looking for ways to be a friendly host in that way. And so as we think of being transformed, it's an attribute of Christians. What has Christ done for us? He gave all, did he not, for us? Now I know in this day and age it can be hard. Say, Pastor Sam, it's hard for me to, I don't have the resources. Some people maybe can have people over for meals. I can't do that. Well, remember, we're not just talking about meals. We're talking about a spirit, a way to show hospitality. Can I say really quick that hospitality goes both ways? It's not just on the person who needs to be pursuing, hey, can I be a blessing to you? Could I invite you to do something with me? Could I invite you to our family for this activity, this event? But it also is on those who've been invited. And we also should be pursuing hospitality in the sense if someone asks us to be with them or to fellowship with them, we should say yes, especially in the body of Christ, which is where this is focused. I just wanted to mention that before we go on. A couple quick observations as we think of this reality being transformed by God's mercy and truth, and that should lead us to be hospitable to one another. One observation is this: biblical hospitality is an essential part of the Christian's spiritual worship. If you look back in verse 1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We need to realize that when we show hospitality to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are worshiping God, if we're doing it for the right reason. That is an overflow of worship to God. Second observation is this: biblical hospitality is the natural response of Christians who have received God's generous grace in Christ by faith. There's a lot of things that should be natural responses. We should be ready to forgive those who have wronged us. Remember Ephesians 4:31, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ's sake, forgave you. Just as God has forgiven us in Christ, we should be willing to forgive others. The same applies to many areas of our life. It also applies to hospitality. And so as we just start into this, we need to realize that it should be a natural response. It doesn't mean it's easy. We're going to talk about that in a minute. It doesn't mean that it's easy, but it should be a natural desire to want to show hospitality to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul is writing here to the church. In verse 13, he says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. It seems he's pointing them inwardly to the church. Doesn't mean that we don't show hospitality to others, but as we'll see later on, we ought to be showing hospitality the strongest within our church so that it branches outward naturally through Christ to our community in the right way, and not just for a secular objective. So one word of application before we move on is this. If you are a Christian, and I pray that you are, if you're a Christian this morning, showing hospitality should be a welcome delight rather than a reluctant drudgery. You know, one of the things I never look forward to doing? It's cleaning out the dryer vent on the side of our house. Because it is up high, I have to get on a ladder, and I'm not tall, as you know. And so I have to get up on this ladder, and I have this long thing, and I go in the side, and I scrub it out, and then all the stuff is just blowing out, and I get all this lint and everything. It's just not something I look forward to, and it always seems to happen on the day, like when it's hot and muggy out. And I see the sides of it. I'll be outside and I'll look and I'll see, oh yeah, it needs to be done. It needs to be done. Oh, but I don't look forward to it. Maybe there's some things in your life that you don't look forward to. When I lived in Georgia, I was a plumber. I did plumbing for a year as a plumber's assistant. I'm not pretending I was a master plumber by any means. But in Georgia, we have these things called grease traps. They have them other places. But a grease trap, you had to clean that out. And it was just overflow of grease that would fill up over time. And it'd be a hot Georgia day. And we always saved that for the last thing of the day if we had to do it. Because once you got that nasty, worn out, cooked out grease on you, you would not get that smell off. So it was the last thing of the day. And normally you were tired and you just hoped that it was not one of those things that you had to, you know, fall into or something like that. And we never look forward to that. What Paul is saying here is when we think of showing hospitality to one another, we shouldn't be thinking of it like a grease trap. We should actually be excited. Thank God that I have an opportunity to fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ, to show them hospitality, to invite them to be part of our family activities, and just to take time, sacrificing my time, sacrificing my opportunity to do something for just myself, to do it with another brother or sister in Christ. Maybe it's for a meal. Maybe it's for going to the park. Maybe it's, and we'll talk about being creative in this in a little bit. But we, or if we are Christians, we should be showing hospitality as a delight, a welcome delight, not as an intrusion or a reluctant drudgery. I'm concerned sometimes in our culture, especially in this area of Pennsylvania, as I've lived in Pennsylvania now almost 10 years, and then somebody say, you're just a rookie, I know. But I've started to see enough things, not just at times in our church, but in other churches I've been in, others. Family is wonderful, family is strong, and family connections are strong. But within the church family, I have met sometimes people who said, I've never been to that person's house. I don't even know where they live. I've never done anything. We've never gone out for a meal. Well, we see each other at a fellowship meal, or we see each other here. Have you ever gone over and done something with this brother? No, never done anything. Some people don't even know where one another live. They just see them in pews on Sunday. That ought not be. And I don't think that's just a Pennsylvania thing. I think that's just a person thing. We like our own possessions. We like to do things our own way. I would encourage us, may we see biblical hospitality as not, oh, I have to, but a delight. And we look for ways to do that. Remember, biblical Christian hospitality is a personal and vivid demonstration of the genuine and gracious love of the gospel. Secondly, but we got to move on. Secondly, biblical hospitality is an attribute of Christians who've been humbled by the overwhelming grace of God. If we look at verse 3 again, we see, for by grace given to me, as God has given us grace, may we not think higher of ourselves than we ought to think. Who are we in Christ? One of the saddest things is to somehow see someone who professes to be a Christian and say, well, I'm a Christian. Like a Pharisee. Remember the Pharisee who went to the temple to pray? And he stood there and said, I thank God that I'm not like these other people. Sinners, people who aren't as well off as I am. I am so spiritual. No. As Christians, we realize that apart from the grace of God, we are headed to hell. We are nothing apart from Christ. We are enemies of God apart from Christ. And yet God in his love has saved us. He's taken away our garments of sin and he's clothed us with the righteousness of Christ. He has given us all we need in Christ. Every good and perfect thing, God tells us, has been given to us through Christ and has been available to us through his Holy Spirit. We have been humbled. We don't stand before Christ in pride. We stand before him in love and humility. And that same humility should be an attribute, a distinguishing characteristic of Christians as we show hospitality. It's interesting when we think of this day and Paul's day, and even if you look at verse 16 real quick before I read this quote, look at verse 16. Paul says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Or that can even have the idea of give yourselves over to humble works or humble tasks. And that day, I read this quote from Tom Schreiner in his commentary, says this aspect of hospitality would be particularly necessary in Paul's day. For believers who traveled would typically lack the financial wherewithal to pay their own lodging, and thus the ministry or visit would depend on hospitality. Here we see a home to go in, but we see that not only does a transformation, our minds being transformed by the work of God, result in hospitality, but also humility. If we excel in showing biblical hospitality, it's because God is working humility in our hearts and lives. And sometimes that means we may need to humble ourselves as well in receiving the offer to be with someone. One of the saddest things I've seen, I remember seeing this sometimes growing up, and it just kind of stuck with me, is that you would see people who maybe you could tell they were maybe a little more well off, and they never associated with other people in the church who maybe weren't as well off as them. You saw the cars pull up in the parking lot, and you might see someone step out of a car that looked maybe newer, and you see people that rolled in, kind of like our family did, you know, in a broken, not a broken down, but a station wagon full of a bunch of kids, and you never saw those people talking. You never saw them fellowshipping. And many times, we would see sometimes people who were, well, I don't know, I love them, but I don't really want to do a lot with them. That's not Christian. That's not biblical Christianity. We need to humble ourselves and not think of ourselves higher than we ought to think. If someone offers us an offer to be with them, to gather with them, whether it's for a meal or whether it's just to come over for their home to have coffee or play games, or whether it's to just go and do something, we should receive, and by all means, if we can, accept that request. And we should also be extending those requests as well. I didn't bring a church directory up with me, but one of the reasons we have a church directory is not so that we can just pray, but I hope we pray through the directory for one another, but it's so we can understand, hey, this is where one another live. This is so we can fellowship together. This is so we can be encouraged with one another. And it doesn't mean we have to be at one another's homes. We can do other things as well together. I'll make sure I didn't get ahead of myself. An observation I would say is this. When we willingly sacrifice our time, resources, and our comfort through the ministry of hospitality, we are showing others the generous love of Christ. You say, Pastor Sam, you just said that. I know. Just saying it a different way. This is what Paul is saying. Let love be genuine. Let love be genuine. And so I would say, especially today, some of you may be wondering, but Pastor Sam, what about COVID? I understand. We have to be wise. We have to be careful. And this pandemic over the last couple of years has created some unique challenges, has it not, for going forward. But I don't see anywhere in Scripture where God says, or I see an asterisk here in the Word of God that says, oh, by the way, if you're in the middle of a pandemic or in the middle of suffering or in the middle of persecution or whatever it might be, yeah, you can just ignore this for right now. I don't see that anywhere. So to me, as I read God's word, as this Holy Spirit works in our lives, I think we realize that we need to be creative. And at times, maybe we need to be a little more creative or diverse in showing biblical hospitality to others. We must be both the initiator as well as the recipient. Hospitality involves inviting people to be invited into our personal level of life in some way. It's not always, as I said, about food, or it's not always about, you know, going somewhere or going out to eat, though that is possible. It is always, though, about relationships and time. This is why we encourage us to be together as much as possible, but there are things that we need to be doing outside the communal activities of the church and the corporate activities. We need to be doing things on an interpersonal level. I want to encourage us in that way. And also when I say diverse, I mean that it shouldn't always be the same people or maybe always the same circumstances or actions. God wants us to get to know the people we're ministering to and find out what they enjoy doing and learn what interests them. There's so many examples I can see of you doing that already. One example that really was a blessing to me was a year ago, time flies. But Larry knew that I enjoy hunting, and Larry said, hey, would you like to come pheasant hunting with me and one of his friends? That was a blessing. But Larry and I, he got to know me, he got to understand and know what I would appreciate, and I appreciated that. Maybe you have children, or you have grandchildren, or you have no other people who are enjoy similar things as you. Maybe you find out there's someone that you don't have anything similar with. You know what? One of the best ways is to get to know them, is to just say, hey, want to go out for coffee, want to come over to our house, want to go out for a meal, want to get together at the park, do something outside together. We can do these things, and as you get to know these people, many times you realize you actually do have more in common than you realize, especially as a Christian. You can share how God worked in your life. How many of you know one another's testimonies of how they came to Christ? I've heard all new members come, and I've been able to interact with a number of you. One of the beautiful things of showing hospitality is we hear how God is working our lives, how he brought us to Christ, and we rejoice in that. Again, biblical Christian hospitality is a personal and vivid demonstration of the genuine and gracious love of the gospel. Thirdly, And I said there were four, so we're going to move on quickly here. We'll take a little more time on this one here. We're going to look at some passages in this section. But biblical hospitality is, and we have to understand this, and this is what I want to be very careful to not sugarcoat it. Biblical hospitality is difficult. It is a difficult ministry for Christians to engage in because it must take place in a sin-broken world. Our world is broken by sin. We see the results in our own lives of living in a world that is cursed with sin. And we see the brokenness all around us, broken homes, broken families, broken lives. And yet through Christ, he takes that brokenness and he turns it into wholeness through Christ. And so while we attempt to show biblical hospitality, it is difficult because not everyone always responds the way we would like, do they? Or not everyone invites us to do things with them that we would like. Does that mean that we just sit back and say, well, no one's been reaching out to me, so I'm just not going to reach out to anybody? No, but it is difficult at times. There's a number of things, maybe even our own sinfulness. One of the things that biblical hospitality combats, we're going to look at some verses here, we're going to see several things that biblical hospitality, when it's done the right way, it has to fight against, it has to work against. One of those is, look at verse 16, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, never be wise in your own sight. Never think that you've got everything perfect in your life. Don't be prideful. Well, biblical hospitality is difficult because biblical hospitality has to combat pride. But biblical hospitality combats pride by pursuing humble actions of love. I know one of the things that can take the wind out of your sails is when you ask somebody, hey, would you be able to come over to our place? And you keep asking, there's always a no and always a no, always a no. There comes sometimes a propensity to say, well, fine, they just don't like me. Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't. Do you keep pursuing them? If we don't, then now we're letting our pride perhaps get the better of us. And I want to encourage you, if someone's been asking you to do things with them and you keep for whatever reason, oh, you know, I don't know. Or maybe you have maybe sadly a grudge against someone. No. Repent of that and say, you know what? I need to receive their offer for hospitality and pray that my pride or their pride, that our humility will show forth. Another thing that, well, before we go on, just ask you that question. Do you struggle? Do you struggle with thinking too highly of yourself? I think we all do at different times. Maybe I could ask this question. Do you struggle with thinking too lowly of yourself? Sometimes I think as Christians, sometimes if we're not careful, we can put ourselves down way too much and realize, no, we are a child of God. We don't take pride for that ourselves. We rejoice in Christ. One person said one time that humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. Maybe be careful not to say, well, you know what, I couldn't invite that person over because, man, I know their house is so, I'd be embarrassed if they came over. Why? You ever wonder about that? Why would we feel embarrassed if we invite someone over who lives in a much bigger house than we do? Could it be that maybe we don't understand what biblical hospitality is really all about? It's not about boasting in the things that we have. It's about relationships. It's about joining together. And on the flip side, if we happen to be more well off in the eyes of the world than someone else, shame on us. If we ever say, well, you know, I don't want to think too highly of myself. If I go there, I might embarrass them. Or they might not like how my house looks. Or they might not, whatever. No, this is about humility. It takes a humbling on both sides many times to come together. But biblical hospitality is difficult. Another reason it's difficult is you look at verse 11. It says, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. But the first command here is don't be lazy. Don't be slothful. Biblical hospitality is difficult because it confronts laziness by pursuing zealous actions of love. Let's just be honest. It's a lot easier to not be hospitable, isn't it? It just is. Because when you really pursue it God's way, you're thinking throughout the week, you're praying for this, you're praying for these people, you're praying that God would bless. And then as you prepare, maybe you're having them over to your house, or maybe you're going out for supper, or maybe you're doing something else together, but there is a sacrifice of time, there is intentionality, and that is hard work. And you know what? Our lives are busy, aren't they? And they seem to get busier and busier. But I think that busyness is something that Satan loves to bring into our lives or to use in our lives to say, you know what, you're just so busy. It's okay. Someone else will reach out to those people. You're just so busy, or you have all these things going on in your life. You don't need to reach out. Or if someone asks you, oh, but you're so busy, don't you know that if you accept their invitation, that means you might have to stay up a little later over here, or you might have to do this here, but you know what? God never says we ever get too busy to obey Him. Biblical hospitality is difficult because it confronts laziness in our lives, but it calls us to pursue zealous actions of love. I believe the church in America has been lazy, unfocused for many, many years, unfortunately. And it is seen the clearest in our priorities and how shallow our relationships sometimes can be in the church. And may that not be. When I look at the church of Antioch, as Nate was teaching on the church of Antioch this morning in Acts chapter 11, I encourage you to read Acts chapter 11 if you weren't in Sunday school. Talk about a church that was on fire for God, and it was seen in the way they lived. There was a time when they heard about the needs of brothers and sisters in Christ who they never met, and they just heard about those needs and said, you know, we got to do something. We need to help. And they sent things to them. Though they couldn't invite them into their homes, in a way, they were showing hospitality, generosity to them in another format. And when Barnabas came, one of the leaders in the church, he came to this church, heard about good things, and notice what it says? It says he saw the grace of God. How do you see the grace of God? You ever ask that question? I mean, we know God. He says he rejoiced when he saw the grace of God. You know what he saw? He saw the grace of God in action. He saw them loving one another. He saw them rejoicing in the truths of the gospel. He saw them breaking bread with one another. He saw them helping and seeking to help one another through biblical generosity. He rejoiced in that, and he says, hey, stay faithful. Don't stop. And this church in Antioch became the sending or the missionary church for Paul and all the other missionaries that went out in the early church for the most part. It's no wonder they went out to tell others about Jesus, because they couldn't keep his grace and love to them. They weren't lazy. They were zealous. Thirdly, let's look at verses 14. It says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Now, I pray that there would not be any enemies here in the church, but there are times when we may not get along together. Now, I think this here it's speaking of people outside the church, but biblical hospitality is not just directed toward the church, though it should start there, but it is directed outside. Biblical hospitality is difficult because at times it means that we need to serve one's enemies by pursuing peace. Now, I'm speaking to myself here as well when I ask this, but when was the last time you went out of your way to bless someone who does not like you? That's hard. Why would I want to bless them? But what does God say? Bless and do not curse. When was the last time you went out of your way to bless someone who has treated you poorly in the recent past? That's happened to all of us, or it will happen one day. How, as a Christian, have we gone to still show them the love of Christ through biblical hospitality? It's difficult. I'm not saying this is easy. And yet God gives us the grace. And as Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, walk in love, even as Christ loved us and gave himself a sacrifice and sweet-smelling savor to God. As we show love to our enemies, to those who have disagreed with us or hurt us in the past, we show them biblical hospitality, maybe even within the church. I wouldn't say, maybe you wouldn't call an enemy, but maybe there's a brother and sister in Christ that in some way has just rubbed you the wrong way. One of the best ways to seek reconciliation is to show biblical hospitality. I mean, ask for forgiveness if you did wrong, but maybe if you've been wronged, show hospitality. Say, hey, we'd love to get together with you. And you pray that their heart will be softened. Biblical hospitality is difficult because it means at times we must serve our enemies by pursuing peace. Another reason it can be difficult is, we look at verse 13, again, contribute to the needs of the saints. Biblical hospitality can be difficult at times because it welcomes other people's needs by pursuing generosity. Sometimes us showing hospitality is meeting the physical needs, and that is a sacrifice, and maybe that can be difficult. Could I say one risk, if I could say it? There are risks, if I could say it that way. I think they're worth pursuing through, but there are risks if we show biblical hospitality the right way. But one of those risks could be that the people we are pursuing in love are not returning that love. Has that ever happened to you? You do what you can to show love to them, and maybe you do, and you get the time together, and it goes really well, and yet there's no reciprocating. Does that mean we stop? No, not biblically, because if we're only doing it to be reciprocated, then we're really not doing it for the right reasons, are we? That's hard, though. That is so hard. Because that's how friendships work, isn't it? And yet God calls us, even through the risk that maybe someone wouldn't return the favor, or maybe they're not able to return the favor. You ever think about that? Maybe they're not able to return the favor that you were able to show them. Maybe there are some physical challenges, some financial difficulties. Does that mean that we don't show others? No, we should still love and show another that. Quickly, we see one other thing. Verses 14, it says, bless those who persecute you, bless, and do not curse them. I'm sorry, actually, I have the wrong thing there. Look down, if you would, at verse 15. That's what I meant to have, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Another reason why biblical hospitality is difficult is because biblical hospitality welcomes both rejoicing and sorrow by pursuing genuine relationships. When we invite one another over, or we show hospitality to one another, we invite them into our personal lives to show them God's love together with them. We need to be willing, and it's difficult, we need to be willing to hear their sorrows, to listen to their sorrows, to listen to their joys and rejoicings. And that can be difficult sometimes, because there are times when they may be rejoicing in something that I wish I was rejoicing in. Or maybe they're sorrowing with something that I don't know how to respond. I don't even know the right words to say, or maybe they're sorrowing because of bad decisions that happened, and there's a part of me that wants to. Biblical hospitality is difficult, but we should welcome the opportunity to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, to weep with those who are weeping. And you know what that does? That builds strong relationships in the body. When you've gone through a difficult time with someone, you've wept with them, you've rejoiced with them, you've cried with them, you've prayed with them, you know what? At the end of the day, you are like soldiers in a battle who fought through that battle together in the same foxhole. Soldiers of Christ. So observations really quickly is this: Christians engage in biblical hospitality even though it can be countercultural or bring personal risk and disappointment. You know, the world today loves to have people over to boast in their wealth. Not all the time. Or sometimes even those who don't know Christ, they get together, but they don't get together to spiritually encourage one another. They get together just for the fun of it. And there's nothing wrong with Christians having fun. We should have fun together. We should have times of joy and happiness and fun. But all of that, as Christians, we also have an opportunity to build one another up spiritually. That is countercultural. And at times it can bring risk and disappointment, but we engage in it. We pursue it. And the second observation is this: Christians need to pursue showing biblical hospitality to other Christians who are not part of their immediate household or extended family. You look at this church here, they were all together. Paul isn't saying here, now reach out to those in your own home. Reach out to those. No, he's assuming that that's taking place already. He's saying, reach out to others who are outside of your immediate household or extended family. I'll just say, that is a challenge, is it not, in Pennsylvania? It is a challenge because we have so much family near us, and we thank God for that. Maybe some of you don't. I know we don't, but a lot of families do. Praise God for that. That is not a curse. That is a wonderful blessing. But may we not let the blessing of close family deter us from pursuing biblical hospitality to one another in the church. Invite them over to your house with your family. Invite them to do things with your family. We need to be doing that. So application, as we close this third thought real quickly, is that we should faithfully show biblical hospitality to our church family before pursuing it to others outside the church. This is not saying that we don't pursue relationships with our neighbors, but if we're not doing it here at church, then I guarantee you we're not doing it in the right way outside of church. We see here that Paul says in verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints, seek to show hospitality to one another so that overflows to your neighbors in your community in the right way. As we think of Acts chapter 2, we won't turn there, but Acts chapter 2, verse 46, 47, we see the early church. They were meeting together, going house to house, breaking bread, meeting in gatherings together because they wanted to show biblical generosity and hospitality to one another. It's important to their discipleship, and it's important to ours as well. Again, biblical Christian hospitality is a personal and vivid demonstration of the genuine and gracious love of the gospel. We should maybe wonder, man, I just don't like being with other Christians. Maybe that's you. I hope it's not. If that's you, then maybe we need to search our heart. Have we really known the genuine and gracious love of the gospel in our life? Are we really saved? Fourthly, and we'll go through this quickly, biblical hospitality, as we come back to verse 13, is a necessary ministry. If you haven't figured it out yet, Paul makes it very clear. This ministry of hospitality for a Christian is necessary ministry in the life of every Christian. Every Christian. The church, as we think of the church, what is the church? The church is a group of saved believers, people who've been saved from their sins by the grace of God. The church should naturally be the greatest vehicle of true God-honoring hospitality, should it not? Of all the places in the world where people should know and see or show hospitality to one another, it should be the church, because we've been given everything by Christ, and He saved us from our sin. We have every reason to show His love and grace to others. The church should be the greatest place that that happens. So an observation as we prepare to close is this: hospitality is a ministry that is not just expected of church leaders. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, Paul gives clear, if you are looking for leaders in your church, men to serve as elders in the church, as pastors in the church, they need to be hospitable. They need to have this character attribute, but it's not just for them, because the goal of those men who are leading the church is to pass on that information, like Barnabas did, to disciple, to edify the believers, to build them up. That's for every Christian. And so a word of application here would be this: commit. Could I encourage you, could I implore all of us to commit to engaging in prayerful biblical hospitality on a regular basis for the glory of God? You will grow spiritually if you do it the right way. And you will also encourage others as you minister to them to be built up spiritually in the love of God. Biblical Christian hospitality is a personal and vivid demonstration of the gracious love of the gospel. Remember the words of Christ: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So may God help us to glorify Him by loving Him and loving others through biblical generosity. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity to just come to Your word, to be challenged in my own life. Father, I pray that You will help me in areas where I need to live out these truths in my life. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be willing to surrender and to make sure that I am using what You've given me for Your glory. Lord, I pray that You will help us this morning to be encouraged with everything that You have given us, to be encouraged with this call to show hospitality, though it is difficult, though it is challenging. I thank You, Lord, for those in our church family who've been doing that for many, many years and are continuing that. May we learn from their example. And I pray for those of us who maybe are just starting in this endeavor, or who are being reminded we need to renew our endeavor to show biblical generosity through hospitality. God, help us. Help us, we pray, to be gracious in that way. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your patience with us. Help us, Lord, to remember that there is a wonderful tie that binds us as Christians. There's a wonderful unity that binds us. God, may You help us be growing more and more as a church that shows biblical hospitality. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.